Amen. Thank you, David. Well, good morning again. Who needs a hellfire and brimstone sermon if you got a library? That was amazing. Well, today's word from Exodus chapter 14 is for sleepy Christians and for seekers of freedom who feel trapped. Are you trapped by anything today? Is there something blocking you from moving forward? This morning we'll baptize Anna Chen, and I think of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea, that they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." We're looking at a water baptism into Jesus. And the water baptism into Jesus today that we celebrate with Anna. Oh, and by the way, Josh postponed his baptism because he had his wisdom teeth out. And he's not fit for it right now. He might literally die. The baptism that we celebrate in Jesus is foreshadowed in the Old Testament by a baptism into Moses. A people caught in slavery to Pharaoh and to Egypt were called to freedom, and they put their trust in Moses, God's servant. And he brought them out of slavery and into the law that would give them life if they were to keep it. And then we know the story of the rest of the Old Testament, that of course mankind was not able to keep the law, and a better covenant in Christ Jesus has come to us. A new covenant in His blood, not the blood of sheep and bulls and goats, but in the blood of Jesus. A new covenant has come, and He became the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father except through Jesus. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no way that we can keep the Old Testament law. There's no way that we can bring ourselves into what Moses had and fulfill it. Only in Christ Jesus is the law fulfilled, and only in Christ Jesus is forgiveness of sins made possible. And so we look today at a baptism into Moses from Exodus chapter 14. Let's turn there and read. Imagine what it must have been like. 400 plus years, generation after generation of slavery. Imagine the dysfunctional families of those slaves. Imagine the abuse. Imagine the low self-esteem. Imagine the worthlessness in their own mind, the failure in each father's mind as he bowed under the whip of the slave driver. Imagine what it must have been like when one day in your generation, a man named Moses, who looked like you, had the same heritage as you, but had been raised in the palace of Pharaoh, came to say, "God is calling you to freedom." Would you believe? Would you dare to trust Him? And as He begins to call the people to freedom, over the course of the next months, perhaps even a year, the slave drivers hear about the declaration that's being made. Pharaoh hears about the call to freedom that's being made. And they increase their burden. They increase their slavery. They increase the quota of bricks that are to be made. They decrease the amount of supplies that are given to their slaves. And life becomes more and more unbearable. If you're here today and you're a seeker and God has been calling you out of slavery, don't be surprised if the battle gets bigger. If you're here today and you have been looking for God and God has been knocking on your door and He's been whispering freedom in your ear, don't be surprised if the load gets heavier and heavier. Pharaoh doesn't want to let you go. Pharaoh doesn't want to give up. Pharaoh knows that his days are numbered. Let's pick up the story in chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, after the many plagues, which you'll have to read in the previous chapters at some point, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. He said that 400 years before. 400 years before. There were people of faith, generation after generation. There was a remnant that hung on to a promise. Someday, life isn't going to be like it is right now. Someday, we're not going to be slaves. Don't throw those bones away. They're going with us when we get out of this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pihahiroth, between Megiddo and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think that the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the darkness. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Who had God told what was going to happen? Moses. Did the people know? No, they didn't. But God had a plan. God knew. God was going to use Pharaoh to bring glory to him. The people didn't know. Even Moses was not yet told what the plan was, only that something was going to happen through Pharaoh chasing them. The story goes on. Verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We've let the Israelites go and we've lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and he took his army with him and he took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with the officers over all of them. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching out after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, was it because there's no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you in Egypt to leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. So the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. They hadn't asked to be chosen. They hadn't asked to be taken out of Egypt. They were just minding their own business in their slavery. But God had a plan for His glory. Maybe they didn't want out, but God had a plan for their life. God had a plan for His glory. And He made man in His image to represent Him. And as Moses is told, He had placed His name upon the Israelites for His fame. No, He would not leave His fame in slavery in Egypt. God has placed His hand upon each of us. Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last." Steve spoke to us last week about enlarging our tents, thinking big. God wants to do great things among us. But where did Steve start the story in Isaiah 54? "You're barren." This Isaiah starts out saying, "Sing, O barren woman, you who have no children, you who don't have a husband, sing. God is going to do something for you." Step one, Steve told us, was to be honest about our situation. We're barren. We're not living in the grand glory of God. Maybe we're happy where we're at. Maybe we're asleep where we're at. Maybe we're just happy knowing that Abraham was our father and that he had a bunch of promises over his family. But God wants more for His glory. He has chosen us. He has chosen each of you. And like the children of Israel, when He chooses us, all hell breaks out against us. When He chooses us, all oppression breaks out against us. When He puts His hand for a new thing in our life, destruction comes knocking at our door. And the enemy comes to tear down what God has begun. Are you seeking God for the first time? All hell is going to break out against you. Are you a sleeping Christian, ready to be awakened? All hell is going to break out against you. But you only need to do one thing. Trust God. Be still. Wait and see His deliverance. God is the one who led them to a point of no return, trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. God is the one who took them on a roundabout course. They could have taken a shortcut the other way, but He took them up against the Red Sea so that Pharaoh would think, "I've got them now," and that Pharaoh would be destroyed. God is the one who has you between a rock and a hard place. God is the one that has put you where your effort cannot save you. God is the one who has put you where your willpower, where your strength, where your ingenuity, where your skill, where all the tools that you think are so special in your life are not enough. God has taken you to that point for His glory and for Satan's destruction. And so Moses says to them, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today." At this point, Moses has not been told how the deliverance is going to come. He only knows that this was God's doing. "The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Do you want deliverance today? Do you want freedom today? Because this was Moses' word to the Israelites. Today, you can have deliverance. You need to do one thing. Trust. See what God is about to do. And then I love God's response to Moses. Verse 15. "Then the Lord said to Moses, Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites, move on. Move on. Advance. What? I just told them to wait on God. Yes. And now I'm answering, move on. Expand your tents. Enlarge your borders. Have faith for the greatness of God. Recognize that it's not about our power, it's about His power. It's not about our doing, it's about His doing. Advance. Move on, says the Lord. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of those Egyptians so that they will go in after you. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army. Through his chariots and his horsemen, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood between them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from heaven. He looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off, so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters might flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered their chariots and the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. When the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. God has freedom for us. God has a call for us to leave slavery, to leave bondage, to leave the enemy's camp, and to be free indeed. God has a call for us to find life in Jesus. You need only to wait on His deliverance. The Israelites had a lot more faith after they came through on dry ground. In the beginning, they didn't have a choice. God had just chosen them. When the destruction came, when the enemy came, they cried out in fear, "What are you doing? We didn't ask for this. Why didn't you leave us back in Egypt where we were happy?" But God had a plan for His glory. Not that they live at the low level they were now, but they live in His glory. Yesterday evening, I dropped by London Drugs about 8 o'clock, just 8-10 blocks from my house. Just needed some contact solution. I had to wait in line for a long time because the guy in front of me was too drunk to go get his money out. He needed $8.35, and he had $3 so far. And he couldn't find his wallet in his pocket. I could see his wallet right there, but he couldn't find it. So in his front pocket, he had $3 worth of coins. And while we waited, another cashier said, "Ah, come this way." And they opened up the other till, and the big long line that had developed went to the other way. And so my opening greeting was, "Ah, that's so sad." And the cashier says, "What?" "Oh, that poor drunk guy that couldn't even make it through the line." The London drug man says, the cashier says, "Well, that's kind of to be expected in this neighborhood." "Oh, that's my neighborhood. Don't talk that way about my neighborhood." "Yeah, that's to be expected around here," he said. "Earlier today, the manager had to clean up all the vomit on the sidewalk from one of these guys." "What? That's my neighborhood." So I left London Drugs shaking my head about the sad world that I live in. Went on to walk around Rupert Park and pray about this morning service. Out on the football field was three teenage guys, swaggering bodybuilder thugs, two cute teenage girls, careless girls. Football game was all about who you could tackle and not about the football. Careless girls giving themselves away to a bunch of thugs. My heart turned inside. I felt sick. I felt disgusted. I felt dirty just watching them. And I sunk my head down and said, "Oh God, what a sad world I live in. What a sad world I live in. What a neighborhood I live in. But most of the time I'm blind to it. I don't see the drunk at London Drugs. I don't see the young people like that. I mix with a different crowd." And I begin to pray and continue to pray. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak these words: "You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead." I thought, I know where that's from. Revelation chapter 3. To the church in Sardis, Jesus said those words. Sardis on the northern side of the Mediterranean Sea. Sardis like Vancouver, a gold rush town. Established when gold was found in the river. Sardis, like Vancouver, a port city, full of trade routes for the Roman Empire, full of prosperity. Sardis, full of God's people, one of the largest synagogues, over 1,000 seating, a synagogue seating 1,000 people for the Jewish synagogue. Sardis, where a church was established, as were many churches in the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, Revelation chapter 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead." I didn't want to say that this morning. How do we dare to read something like that in such a wonderful church? And we are a wonderful church. We're full of family. We're full of care. We're full of life. But it's part of what God wants to speak to us about our barrenness. We're full of lots of good things. And so were God's people in Egypt. They still had Joseph's bones. They were still hanging on. We know that heaven's coming. We believe. We're not always going to be in this place. We're going to be in heaven someday. But that wasn't enough for God. He wanted His glory to be displayed on this earth as well. Not just in that day. God's looking for His life to be glorified now, today. And He's looking for His people to be alive now, today. And so he says to a good church in Sardis, I know about you. Your reputation doesn't match what's on the inside. I've got more for you. I've got more for you. I want to expand you. I want to enlarge you. You've got a great heritage. But that river of life can easily just dry up to be a stagnant pond that we just stand around the edges and remember about. I've got a river of life. For those who believe, as the Scripture has said, from Him will flow streams of living water. You're the head and not the tail. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. When the Holy Spirit came upon the people in the book of Acts, He added to their number daily those who were being saved. People who were afraid were suddenly filled with boldness and preached in the town square. And flocks of people came. They were persecuted, but many were saved. God has more for us. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Here's Jesus, the lover, calling out to His beloved. I want you. I've got more for you. Wake up. He shakes us on the shoulder. Wake up. Here's His words. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Step one. Remember what you've received and heard. Step two. Obey it. Step three. Repent. Turn away from where you're going now and turn towards His will. But if you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you won't know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus wants to expand us as a people. Jesus wants to wake up His bride. Remember what you have. Remember what's been entrusted to you. Turn away from where your eyes are right now and come back to what I've called you to. No. I know it's kind of burdensome right now, but I don't want the fights of Egypt. No way. No. I know it's not heaven yet, but we got Joseph's bones. We're going there someday. No, don't call me into more. I've had all I can take right now. Yeah, I know we're God's chosen people. We're descendants of Abraham. Life's just hard here in Egypt. Listen, God is calling us. And the battle's going to increase because we don't have a choice. It's not about you saying yes to God. He's already said yes. He's already chosen us. He's already begun to take us out of Egypt. And the slave drivers have already increased their pressure upon you. Some of you, because you're God's people, are being called back to more than just Joseph's bones, more than just memories of Abraham. Some of you, you're seekers from the world. You've never been part of the family of God. But you want to go up with God's people as well. And the wrath of Egypt comes upon you. The wrath of Pharaoh comes after you. The armies of hell come and chase you down, hem you in, until no amount of reason or understanding can figure out how to get out of the mess that you're in. How do I get free from depression? How can I get out of the financial bondage I'm in? How can I get free from addiction? How can I get free from perversity that flows through my mind? I'll never get out. Just leave me in Egypt. How can I get free from the pride that blinds my eyes? My own guarding of my reputation and what people think of me. How can I get free from being gripped by fear? God brings us into a place of no return, trapped between the Red Sea and the armies of hell. You need only to do one thing, trust God. And the moment you do that, you hear His word saying, move on. Forward march. What? But I'm a loser. Forward march. What? But I can't. I'm just stuck here. Forward advance. But God, no, you trusted me, didn't you? The moment you trust Him, be still and trust Him, is the moment He moves you forward, no longer in your power. You're out of resources. Remember, these guys went up out of Egypt, we read in chapter 13, armed for battle. Why didn't they ever use it? Israelites were armed for battle as they went up out. And yet God led them away from potential battles because He knew they didn't have the power to do it. And then after avoiding the Philistine country, He leads them into a place where there's nothing they can do but face their oppressors. And all the armies of Egypt are after them to take them back to slavery and punish them for ever trying to leave. How dare you think you can get out of this? You were born into slavery. How dare you think you can get out of this? Generations of your family have had this in their heritage. That's just who you guys are. You're just losers. Your parents were addict too. Your parents were depressed too. Your parents had mental problems too. 400 years you're born into this stuff. Who do you think you are to get free? And the armies of hell are yelling at us, clashing their battle weapons, screaming their threats at us. And everything in us has a choice to make. Do I trust God or not? But the moment you trust God, Moses stretches out his hand. But oh, praise God, we're not talking about Moses anymore. Jesus stretches out His hand. One who has already gone through the Red Sea. One who has already crossed over from death to life. Jesus invites us to also go through the death and life of His resurrection. No longer are we talking about being baptized into Moses and coming out the other side, trusting in God's law, hoping that we can keep His duties so that He'll stay happy with us. One who has done that, Jesus, invites us into His death in baptism. And today when Anna is baptized, she is saying by faith, it's not about me and my effort. It's about me being died, killed, put under, buried, and it's about living in the life of Jesus. Move on, says the Lord. They had to follow Moses through the chambers of death. But in the end, only their enemies got killed. They went on to life in the kingdom. They weren't in the promised land yet. And nor are we, by the way. Follow the rest of the story of Israel. Temptation, backsliding, and the mercy of God all over them. Follow your own life as a Christian. Temptation, falling short, backsliding, and the mercy of God all over us. But we're experiencing the first fruits. And someday, we're going to see Him face to face. Someday, the battle is going to be completely over. But right now, we live in a time where the enemy of hell is yelling at us, and God is saying, I have destroyed death. He no longer has dominion over you. He might be there as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, but he has no right to your life if you're in Christ Jesus. He has no right or authority over you. You have been brought into Jesus by your trust in Him making a way. Only He has made a way. God is offering freedom to us today. The beginning of that journey was, don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to stand still. Do you want God to fight for you? These guys had to fly their flags. They flew their colors. They waved it in the enemy's face. They weren't back in Egypt. They were on the other side with the people of God. The enemy knew where they were and was coming after them. You can't stay back in Egypt, hiding in some Egyptian's house, and pray, God, deliver me. You have to trust Him and walk out of Egypt, repent of your sins, turn away from that life, and walk out with God's people, flying your flag, knowing that all hell is going to break loose against you. And then stand firm and let God deliver you. I'm going to ask you to stand at one. Just wait. I'm going to ask you to fly your flag in front of the enemy. I'm going to ask you to look Pharaoh in the face and say, I have chosen to follow Jesus through death and resurrection. My only hope is in Him. You're looking Pharaoh in the face knowing, I'm not big enough to fight you. What is that bondage? What is that slave driver for you? Is it fear? Look it in the face. I know I can't beat you, but I'm going to stand on God's side. Is it depression? I know I can't get out of this, but I'm going to stand on God's side. I'm going to look to Him for deliverance. Is it pride? I know I keep tripping up over my own self-image, but I'm going to stand on God's side. If you haven't experienced pride, you might not understand that last comment. Pride is a bondage. It is the most hated sin in the Bible. Because it is such a bondage. And it leaves us feeling like we don't need help. Everything's all right. It leaves us blind to our own need. It leaves us on the side of the Pharisee saying, I'm thankful I'm not like this drunk in London drugs. But it's the other man who says, God, I need help, that is justified before God and finds help. What is your slavery? What is it that the slave driver is shouting in your ear saying, don't you try to break loose? You heard the rumors about the other slaves break. Don't you try it. Don't you go for it. What is that for you? You name it in your own heart. And together we'll stand. I'm going to give you a moment. I want you to think. I want you to ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you what it is that He wants to break you free from. He's chosen you for glory, whether you like it or not. Holy Spirit, you know our reputation, and you know what's reality daily in our lives. You know our deeds. You know what you've called us to. But only you know the secret things in our heart, the enslavement, entrapment of the enemy. You have brought us to a point of no return. Now, Lord, we want to stand. We want to publicly say to the enemy that's watching that whatever that situation of slavery is, that we're following you, and our hope and our trust is for your deliverance. think it would be good if we all stood up. But if God has been particularly speaking to you about something that you're trapped in, I'm not going to ask you to name it publicly, but I'm going to ask you to stand before God and name it to Him. And then we're going to pray a prayer of freedom. If you want to name that now, you stand. Father, we have the privilege of reading the whole story and having faith that the children of Israel didn't have at the time. You have all through history shown yourself as mighty to save, deliver. So, Lord, this morning, each of us stand before you, naming an oppression of the enemy, naming a point of bondage, naming something that's like living in Egypt. We recognize, Lord, that the enemy doesn't want to lose our services, that the enemy doesn't want us to live to your glory. But we stand before you, Lord, because you have said that you've chosen us to take us out of slavery and to bring us into the land of your kingdom, the land of your plenty, the land where we flourish. We're asking, Lord God, that you would deliver. We're saying, Father, there's no way that we can counsel our way out of this. There's no way that we can think our way out of this. There's no way that we can try our way out of finding freedom. Lord, our hope is in you. Our life is in you. Our need is beyond our understanding, Lord. Would you come and deliver today, Lord? Come and deliver today, Lord. Come and deliver your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we speak to every spirit of oppression. We say, leave our family in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear, leave our family in the name of Jesus. Spirit of pride, leave our family in Jesus' name. Depression, leave our family in the name of Jesus. Perversity, addiction, leave in the name of Jesus. Lustful thoughts, leave us in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would free us of every bondage of Satan, that you would come and blow your Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, would you come upon us and anoint us and fill us with your life? You said that we would be the head and not the tail. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would come and pour out your Holy Spirit. Renew our strength, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Let us turn and do what we've done at the beginning, Lord. Father, where we've grown cold, turn us back, Lord. Where we've been deceived by the enemy, turn us back, Lord. Where we look to the right or the left, you promised that we'd have a voice behind us saying, no, this way, walk in it. Father, give us your freedom. Father, give us your deliverance, Lord. Father, you tell us today to move on. You tell us to walk forward. You tell us not to stand around wallowing in our shame, not to stand around doing penance for 5 weeks. But Lord, you have delivered us in Christ Jesus. You have baptized us into His death. You have delivered us into His resurrection. Lord, we want to live in your resurrection. Every demonic spirit, leave our family in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of Satan, leave our family in the name of Jesus. Let go of God's people in the name of Jesus. Deliver God's people in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your life upon us, Lord. Now, let's just turn to one another. Don't ask them why they're standing, but start to pray a blessing. Just take turns with somebody around you and pray a blessing over somebody and let them pray over you.